Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yins guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Today is May 16th. Bucks had the day off. We're getting ready for a weekend series in Philly.
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day. So, you know, if you want to wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Let's start off with Michael Hellman, who was just claimed off waivers a couple days ago, and a lot of people freaked out about why they're making this move, was optioned to AAA, just like we said he would be. It's AAA depth. It's not a big deal until it is. He's optioned to AAA. We got a couple things to talk about on a day off. You know what I mean? I mean, there's usually a lot of, for these daily episodes, there's usually a lot of talking about the games that happen and things like that, but there's a few things that we could talk about here. Some minor league updates and Paul Skeens, and then really mostly minor league, but then, you know, a little bit of baseball stuff too today that we could cover. And as you can probably hear, it's actually been like a little bit of a fun ride through this week with these episodes. The voice a little bit better every day. Tonight we were outside with the kids. We were playing ball in the front yard, doing this or that tonight. And, a little like, because you're, you know, far away, just talking louder, actually might be a little step back today. I don't know. Either way, let's talk. Paul Skeens is going to pitch for USA in the World Baseball Classic in 2026. I guess. Yeah. I don't know where you're at with this. I understand that as a Pirates fan, there is a piece of you that may be concerned about injury, and that's understandable. This is probably one of the least surprising things we could have heard. We've heard all the stories. We know about Air Force. We know about how much Paul Skeens loves his country, and so this was a no-brainer, I think, for a lot of people that we assumed that this would happen. I thought it was interesting. Mark DeRosa pulled him out on MLB Network. They were in New York, pulled him out and said he was going to pitch or whatever. And it was funny because DeRosa said, man, I thought I was going to have to talk you into this. And then Paul Skeens' response was, hey, I thought I was going to have to talk you into this. Like, he's been wanting to do this for a long time. As we said, no surprise whatsoever. So aside from wanting to coddle this guy and avoid injury as much as possible to let him go pitch in what is essentially exhibition games, to think of it in a different light, I mean, this is still exciting. He's going to get an opportunity to go do this. The World Baseball Classic was something that I didn't care about, but it is kind of warmed up. Or I guess I've warmed up to it. It's kind of growing on me a little bit. And so I'm a little bit excited about this. The USA hasn't had a starter as good as him, I don't think ever. And so there's talk that maybe they can, you know, get a couple arms, a couple pitchers to do things, or to come and join the team. And so that could be exciting for them. They've got a great lineup coming at that time. But consider the experience that Paul Skeens is going to get in this tournament. It's a tournament style. It's like, this is like playoff games each and every time he's going to go out there. And that kind of experience is going to be very important. If, I mean, you know, he has the LSU stuff, but this is, you know, just another level of that experience and, you know, more people. And I mean, it's a rocking house and all that kind of stuff. So the experience, if the Pirates ever do get to a place while he's here, where they're in postseason games, at least that experience will be valuable going into that setting. So I don't think it's all terrible for a Pirates fan, or really, I don't think it's terrible at all. But if you are on the fence about, you know, gosh, I hope he doesn't go there and then wear down and get injured and whatever, but you just can't, I don't know, man, you just can't, you can't baby him. You can't go through always just in the back of your mind thinking all the time everything's going to fall apart. It's just not, you know, how you need to handle this. So it's pretty exciting. It's going to be fun to watch him in that setting and so on. And who knows, you know, like I said, how long he's here with the Pirates. There's also talk about the Pirates trading him. Obviously, that's ridiculous. I think some of it was kind of blown up. Jet Passan was the one that kind of brought this up first when he was on Pat McAfee. And he was like, hey, you know, if you don't think you're going to compete with this guy, the move would be to trade him right now. If you listen to the whole quote, he not only says that the return probably won't ever be realized, but also most importantly, what he makes very clear is that the Pirates do believe that there is a window of time. And he said that this is not ever going to happen. I watched baseball today and they basically pointed out what I've been saying. You'll never get the return. That is 4 years of Paul Skeens. No team in Major League Baseball would be willing to give up the full value of that trade. You have to wait at least two more years until he has 2 years of control before you can really get a return that is actually fair. Because no team would just give up that. You're talking about possibly close to major league talent in a top 50 prospects, a couple of them. Like there's no blueprint for that. You have to look at the Juan Soto trades and say they had to add in extra players in order to make those trades happen. From Washington to San Diego, it was him and Josh Bell, and they were able to get three legit prospects out of that. And then that was with 2 years, but then with 1 year left, the trade to the Yankees in order to get Michael King and whatever else that package included, which wasn't, I mean, King was the best. But they had to also throw in Trent Grisham, who, you know, what he's doing this year was not what they thought they were acquiring. So the Yankees really made out on that, even though Soto is now gone, they're reaping the benefits of Trent Grisham, who's already in double digit home runs this season. You have to pair somebody, you have to package somebody in order to get that mega return. I would say that you're going to have to look at the Juan Soto trades as a baseline and go from there.
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day.
Should have played that before I went to take a drink. I do have to keep taking drinks. I'm sorry for those pauses here on the video audio, but you guys probably don't realize it quite as much. So let's talk a little bit about some minor league stuff. We'll start with Spencer Horwitz. We talked about on yesterday's show. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, you can still go back and listen to it. But we talked about on yesterday's show that Spencer Horwitz is likely to be in Philadelphia this weekend with the team because of the 20-day maximum of a rehab assignment. So he's likely to be there playing. But Thursday's game, he hit a home run. And it's starting to kind of look okay for him, right? By the way, if he's not in Philadelphia with the team, I'm going to be very surprised and I'm going to learn something new because I don't understand the 20-day rehab assignment is ending. And then I guess they could option him just to let him go a little bit longer. But I'm not sure why you would do that. In the eight games he's been in AAA, he's hitting .323 with an .878 OPS, a homer, two doubles. And they've been recently, his last two games there, 4-for-5 with a double. And then Thursday, 2-for-5 with a homer. Like, it seems like he's starting to get comfortable in the box. Obviously, the wrist is not the issue right now, but it's all about that timing and getting into your groove. You had no spring training, all that stuff. So it seems like it's not been a lot. Like, spring training, they have a lot more at-bats than what he's been getting. So even once he comes up, maybe a little bit of patience. In the game yesterday, Hunter Barco was removed from the game in the first inning. He only got one out. It was a strikeout. He also walked three, gave up a hit, and two runs. And he came off the field, pulled out of the game, I guess holding his arm. I didn't see that in the video, but it was zoomed out pretty far. I don't know. Not a good sign for a dude who was steamrolling this year. Those two runs that he gave up in the first inning yesterday doubles his run totals of the 30 innings before that. So it's such a bummer. Barco's 24 years old, drafted in the second round in 2022, and really was only went to the second round because he was injured. He missed all of the rest of 2022, most of 2023. I think he pitched 18 innings or something like that. It was less than 20 innings in 23, and then 60 plus innings in 2024 of really good, and then 30 innings this year that was, you know, one run ball. And it just sucks that this could be another injury setback for a dude who was a first round talent and just slipped because of injuries. And now is 24 years old. And, you know, what are you looking? I mean, like, you're talking about a debut at 26 in 2027, like 26 years old, 27. I don't know when his birthday is. I don't have his page up still. So I don't know if he's about to turn or if he just turned or anything like that. But 2027, I mean, he's going to miss this year. He's going to miss next year. You're talking a debut in 2027 at 26 years old for a guy who's a first round talent. This is going to be one of those sneaky guys down the road who they're going to break into the league. If, you know, if things go well, they break into the league and everybody's going to say, who's this late bloomer? And it's like, well, it's just been injuries and college arm and this and that. So kind of a bummer. Hopefully it's not that serious, but as of right now, that's kind of stinky. Other Indianapolis updates, Nick Solak still hitting .393. He's not young. It is a curious thought to consider giving him a run while he's hot. And I've heard a lot of people talk about it. Thing is, the best thing would be to replace Tommy Pham, and he's gone. This, you're talking 40-man roster spot and everything. But with Canario, I keep saying Canario and Canario. I mix it up all the time. You guys are probably listening to that. With Canario sort of clicking right now, Solak would come up and basically play a bench role. It's not necessarily the best thing you do with a dude who's hot. Maybe you just let him cook down there, and then if Canario cools down, then he can come up and get a run of playing time. But there are other options too. Billy Cook maybe starting to turn a corner down here. He's moved his average from 179 to 207 while hitting 257 this month and just had a four-hit game Wednesday and has knocked in five runs in the last two games. So Billy Cook, if he heats up at all, he's already on the 40-man. He plays great defense. So you could see him being an option too if you know, weeks away from now, that starts to happen. Nick York is best at second base. He can play some third base, but he's also played some quarter outfield too. And after he hit .212 in April, he's hitting .302 so far in May with a couple of homers. He hasn't walked at all this month. It's only half a month, but not even. Oh yeah, half a month. But he walked 11 times in April. So actually, even though the average was down, his on-base percentage was .325 in April, and it's .302 this month exactly, because he hasn't walked. So he's improving. He's starting to hit the ball, but even when he wasn't hitting, he was getting on base. That's what we like about Nick York. So there's even an option there. Although I think he's more slated to be an infielder than a corner outfielder. But if he comes up, he's a guy that could bounce around, maybe like a Jared Triolo without shortstop. it's not super easy to make a 40-man move for a guy like Solak when there are other guys who are already on there who could come and make an impact. Hate to go there, but even Swinsey has a 365 on-base percentage and 837 OPS since he's been in AAA. The only problem with that is recently he's really cooling off. So like I've said before, you have to let him have a long run and get a lot of looks and extended time in AAA for Jack Swinsey before trying anything out with him. He's just not an option right now. So I'll do that. So moving Tommy Pham altogether seems easy enough to create a 40-man roster space, but you're talking about also likely having Bubba Chandler at some point, and you might need to make moves that way. Dowry Moretta, he's only thrown four innings, so let's not get too far down the line here and rush anything, but he also is on a 60-day injured list, so if he was to be activated, that's a 40-man roster move as well. You're looking at Pham. You're looking at that at Michael Hellman that I opened up saying he's been optioned. He would be somebody that you would put on waivers. I don't think the Pirates are ready to do something like that with Bay. I think that he stays on the 40 man for until he absolutely has to go away. I'm not going to go there. So let me close with this. I see I'm at the 15-minute mark here. I've really been 20 minutes all week this week, but come on, we didn't have a show. I didn't have these shows for like 3 weeks because I was sick. So we're going to do this thing. Take another drink here.
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day. So, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Because those are the rules of Sticky McSchnickens.
The Hawaiian shirt's not the rules of Sticky McSchnickens, but I thought it was good. Anyway, Rob Manfred made another change that I'm not going to get deep into the change and anything like that, but apparently the permanent ban list is clarified now as it wasn't before. Everybody called it a lifetime ban, but it was actually a permanent ban. And now he's kind of fixed that to make it a lifetime ban. When you die, it goes away. You're no longer serving anything. Kind of makes sense. Why would you be serving anything after you're already gone? So I get that. This reinstates Pete Rose, most notably, but also Shoeless Joe Jackson and the rest of the Black Sox, and then a list of several more players, most of us have never even heard of. Let's do it this way. Like, if you're watching this on YouTube, get in the comments. I want to know what you think about this, whether you think the change that was made is right, and so on. Furthermore, let me know if you'd vote for Pete Rose or Joe Jackson for the Hall of Fame. I think those are the only two that we'll talk about. Keep it civil. Let's not talk about, too much there. Let's not get explicit. Keep it civil and just keep it to, do you think either of these guys are deserving of a plaque? And you can include off the field stuff and the way people are, but keep it civil. And if somebody comments, let's not bash anybody on either side of their argument, but get those comments in there. I want to see. And if you are listening to this on audio and you have thoughts, hop over on YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube and put a comment in there and just let me know where you're at. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of folks on either side of this argument, specifically talking Pete Rose. I'm not sure where I stand right now. He kind of ruined it for himself, really. I didn't get to watch him play that much for all those years. So I don't have that attachment to watching him play and how he was and all that stuff. And so some people really remember the player fondly and think he's deserving. He has to be. He has all those hits. He's the way he played the game, he was grinded. Like every single game was game seven of the World Series and so on. But I can watch somebody on either side of this argument talk about it and say, well, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Because we know that the player alone is worthy, but like I said, he kind of ruined it for himself, not just betting on baseball, but the way he went about lying for several years and then coming out when he needed to sell a book and said, yeah, I bet on baseball. I bet on baseball every day, every single day. I never bet against my team, so I never threw a game like the Black Sox were considered to be doing or did, except maybe not Joe Jackson. Anyway. Then there was a bunch of other stuff too that I've heard in all these arguments that I hadn't heard before And I'm not going to get into that stuff. If you know, you know, and you know, whatever else. If not, it's probably out there. You could probably look it up. But either way, like it's all about whether you consider Hall of Famers to also have to be role models or not. Because the off the field stuff, the way that Pete Rose was and the way that he went about things, like well after his career, and the way that he kind of said, I'm not ever getting in the Hall of Fame. I'll play this heel. I'll play the bad guy or whatever. But there are other bad guys in the Hall of Fame with plaques. So there's, it doesn't make it okay. You can't get those guys out once they're in. Do you want to just keep him out? I don't know. I can see both sides. I'm still undecided on how I feel about it. For me, I'm going to hang my hat on, this is my thought. I'm going to hang my hat on the fact that days before his death, he said if he didn't get in while he was alive, he doesn't want it. That it was only for him and his family to enjoy while he was here. That's the only thing that mattered. If I was a voter and I had a vote in the Veterans Committee or whatever, I think I'd consider that a dying wish, and I think I'd grant it and leave him off my ballot. I don't think that, I think the player absolutely was deserving, but I think that's where I'm at right now. And I'll back it up here in a minute. But let me talk Joe Jackson for a second. But hold on to that thought if you disagreed with it. Hold on to that thought. For Joe Jackson, I obviously know very little. It was 1919. I don't think he wanted to throw games. I don't think he participated in throwing games. He had a fantastic series. I wonder, and I like to believe he never accepted the money, which is the story that's told, that he never accepted the money. But even if I believe that, I was born in the 1980s, 60 years after the scandal, 30 plus years after he was dead. And I had no problem being told the story and participating in the debate about Joe Jackson. I watched Eight Men Out. I read all the Wikipedia pages. I know as much as you could know about that, considering my parents weren't even alive when this happened. So I guess what that means is, and this goes back to Rose, this is what I said to wait for, this goes back to Rose, this goes to Joe Jackson, and everybody else. Even if these guys don't get a plaque in the Hall of Fame with their name on it, they're a part of the story of Major League Baseball history. And Cooperstown, in the museum, is telling that story. Both Joe Jackson and Pete Rose are all through the Hall of Fame with memorabilia, with stories about what they did, the Hit King, the White Sox or the Black Sox scandal, the whole nine yards. They're there. The story's being told. And so there's part of that that says, you know, in the I think the Hall of Fame kind of has said this before, but if they don't get in, like people 30 plus years from now are still going to be talking about Pete Rose. Cincinnati will never stop talking about Pete Rose, rightfully so. The story won't stop. Maybe that's enough for me. I don't know. Maybe that's justified. I won't get mad or sad if they vote him in either. That's just kind of where I'm at right now. So let me know how you feel about it and where you kind of find yourself here. 13 straight days with a game for the Pirates starting tonight. Heaney versus Suarez. Tomorrow it's Majinski, Zach Wheeler. Sunday is Skeens and Christopher Sanchez. If you could steal a win tonight or Saturday, let's just say tonight. If you could steal a win, that game Sunday, that matchup, Skeens-Sanchez, is going to be incredible. I'm expecting to lose the series, but let's hope that they avoid a sweep. Hopefully Cruz gets back in the lineup. Hopefully Reynolds breaks through. And if Horwitz is activated, it's kind of unfortunate that the Pirates have two lefties that they're facing this weekend. So as I said before, he didn't really have a full spring training, and everybody that he faced was well ahead of him. Let's maybe don't make up your mind on the weekend, and let's see how Horwitz looks over the next couple weeks. But he's going to have to get his feet under him. Thanks for joining me this week. Don't forget that Sunday's our live show on YouTube. Come hang out. Get in the chat on Sunday. It's always a good time. Plenty of people in the chat there. Have a great weekend, guys. Let's go Bucks.
Thanks for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Subscribing to your platform of choice is the best way to be notified for new episodes. And now, new episodes every weekday. Remember, live shows with my dad and Uncle Jake are Sundays at 9 p.m. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and join them in the live chat every Sunday. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.